Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz Arrow After Show. This is Season 5, Episode 12? Sure, why not? And it's called Bratva. You're welcome. Yeah.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We gotta turn this up.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about this reporter, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit, because, you know, she was trying to use her cookie to influence Oliver. It didn't work. Yeah. But anyhow, he's
a cake kind of guy.
Hi. That is true. My name is Allie Connor Bradford, and I'll be your host for this evening's AfterBuzz TV Arrow After Show. You can follow me at BoysInBeauty01, and there's some really awesome people on this panel as well, so say hello.
Yeah, and also, I'm here. I'm Lex Michael, all over social media at TheLexMichael.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TariJay.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on the social medias at QJ. That is KIAXET.
Anyway. And since we're just singing about the cookie, I wasn't really going to start with this topic, but why don't we? It's a great transition. Let's just talk about, what the heck is this reporter's name? Because I've done a really good job of blocking her name
Susan
out.
Susan Williams.
Okay, well, Susan Williams. It. Who here on this panel likes Susan Williams? What the heck?
I mean,
what? Wait, what? Because, no. Just no. Right now.
Intriguing, potentially neutral evil, we aren't sure yet, character? Who isn't a super-powered villain that wants to murder everyone? Sign me up. Or a person in a mask.
I can
with
a voice changer.
I can respect that part, but from the get-go, I didn't like her.
Right.
From the get-go, something about her was just off
from
and disingenuous.
From the get-go, they made her unlikable.
Yeah, absolutely. And
is it that she's not Felicity?
No.
Okay.
There was something, although that is a factor, but there was something about her that I just did not care for.
Sure.
Because she already came off, I understand your job is your job, be good at it, but she already came off as just vindictive and willing to do whatever it took to get the job done. But now that you're personally involved in this person, I get separate work from the job, but still, something is just off about her. And the fact that, I don't know, and then she's pushing to try to get him to have sex with her.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite part of the episode, where she's like, are we a thing? Because we haven't gone down to Pound Town, so like, are we doing this or what? Like, I've seen those abs, I know all about it.
Yes.
But I think, since we're talking about her use of Pound Town.
I just pictured Oliver
Queen. She just took up residence
there.
Hold
on, I just pictured
men
close your ears. I just pictured Oliver Queen on the salmon ladder naked. It was great.
That seems floppy.
It does.
I was going to say, I feel like that's not a fun lack of support. And I say that as someone who has gone running in a bra that is not a sports bra. Mistakes have been made.
Though, I do like the idea. Never mind.
Did I just wreck you twice in 5 minutes?
It sounds like a bigger spectacle than an Avengers movie.
But this whole thing.
And far lower budget.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Really?
This pretty much confirms, or I guess I would, to me, it confirms that she's not Prometheus. Because for her to go through such,
maybe it was fun for her to try to sleep with him and get intel.
Right, but like,
it's intel that Prometheus already has.
Right.
Oh, good point.
Yes.
Or maybe
she just pretends she didn't know because she wanted to sleep with him.
I feel like,
I don't know.
It seems like the way they're structuring the flashbacks now and the way they're building Oliver and Talia's relationship, I feel like that's a far more likely candidate for Prometheus than the reporter at this point.
I would be down for Talia being Prometheus. I would need a good explanation as to motivation, and it could just be, you wrecked the entire League of Assassins. What's wrong with you?
Sure.
Yeah.
But
you killed my father.
Yeah, you totally killed dad.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that, and just the frog water's gone, and the seriously, what's wrong with you? And I can't find my sister. I don't know where she went. Like, so I blame you for everything.
That makes sense.
So I'd be down for that. I would be very interested in that. And I would love to just kind of sit there and smirk at everyone who's like, we haven't seen boobs, so Prometheus is a guy. Like, sports bra.
Speaking of, let's just turn our attention to the fact that can we please have our chat pulled up? And I have not introduced...
I have the chat.
Perfect. And I have not had a moment to invite you guys, so forgive me, I'm doing it a little delayed, but please feel free to join the conversation. This end of the table is your end of the table. So if you'd like to share with us, all you have to do is hashtag ABTVArrow. We can talk about all the things you want to talk about. And Lex will just do everything in sign language.
I will totally make hand signals that you won't see on Twitter.
Come in, sit on our floor, have a good time.
Yeah! Snacks, all that good stuff.
There's only so much seating in the studio, so come sit on the floor.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Someone's ha-haing at Tari. Sure.
Oh.
Casket fan. Ooh.
It's delightfully morbid.
Diggle and Felicity should rewatch season one at Oliver's Decisions, then rethink their current life choices. Okay, at Sun Moon Night. Anyway. All right. IMDb is not reliable. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Tommy is Prometheus. IMDb confirmed. Really? Did I say that before? I feel like I may have said that before.
To be fair, those they're pointing out IMDb is not always a consistently reliable source. No. Anybody can edit IMDb.
Yeah. Right.
I went on there last week and was like, Tommy is Prometheus.
It's your fault.
But. Hold, please.
Yes.
No. Elevator music?
Okay.
Refused.
So, really, though, remember the other week when I did News and Gossip and I said Stephen Amell accidentally gave something away? That or, what's the actor that plays Tommy? Off the top of my head, I can't remember his name.
Tommy.
Well, Tommy. Whatever. Tommy. Yep.
That guy.
Either lives down the street from him or his wife just happened to be hanging out with Oliver when he said, you know, so-and-so's wife was saying blah, blah, blah. So, there's quite a possibility... Colin Donnell, there we go, is around, lurking around the set.
Possibly. Our other theory was that they're having an affair and you just ruined it for them, so...
Ew, don't start rumors. Do not worry. Sorry, why?
We've already
Why would you...
I'm just covering ground that's already been...
A second ago, Wolfwing said Worf is, just listen to the voice, like Worf is Prometheus, but also like Star Trek Worf?
Oh, I guess Worf is the voice? They just hired him.
Is it
Worf?
Wouldn't that be an amazing twist if it was a Star Trek character?
That would be insane.
I mean, like, I'm not the biggest TNG guy, but that would still blow my mind a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it would open... It would bring up more questions than anything.
Would be so confused.
Franchising. Like, franchising's insane.
Anyway.
Either way. We got sidetracked.
Tell us who you think is Prometheus.
There's a poll some going more.
In the hashtag, ABTVArrow. Do the thing, win the stuff.
Yes. I swear it's not me.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you're Jay Garrick. We've
exactly
been over this.
I get Prometheus now. I get Black Flash. I get Tari J. Miller sometimes.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Really
I thought Wally was Black Flash. Am I right? Am I right? Am I the only one who's allowed to say that joke?
Can I high five you? Is that acceptable?
I love how uncomfortable it got. And no, like, it would have been fine if everyone had been like, haha, good joke. But everyone's like, shrink.
See, I didn't watch last night's Flash, and so I'm like, wait a minute, did I miss something? I haven't seen it yet.
No, it's because he's African American.
So the Bratva, right?
Yeah, Black Flash. I thought that was just Zoom.
Wait, go ahead, Lex. What?
So the Bratva, right?
Yes.
Them angry Russian dudes always doing the murder.
Oh, doing the murder that they do.
All right, let's go back to this episode overall because we're dealing very heavily with the Bratva and they go over to Russia. I think it's interesting in a season where recently we got Black Siren, we're dealing with Flash mythology. We got last week, right, was when Oliver Queen dangled from a helicopter again.
Yep.
Right? So now what I think is really cool that they did is they told a very grounded, very non-superhero-y story in this episode, and I thought they did a really tremendous job. I say that even though Ragman stopping a nuke with his magical pajamas is about as comic booky as it gets. But that aside, it felt very grounded, and I thought they did a really excellent job telling an espionage spy type story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been a good chunk of time since we've had just a normal, not ridiculously superpowered, for the most part, straightforward story. Right. Like, this is a lot of what season one was about.
And the flashbacks were definitely directly related to the episode. Not that they aren't always, but there's sometimes where you get certain flashbacks and it just feels like fluff and you're going, oh, okay, I think I could have lived without that. But I really do enjoy, like we were talking about, I do enjoy watching Talia. There's a quote that I wrote up on the board that says, the man who emerges, what? Embraces, forgive me, I can't read my own handwriting. The man who embraces darkness is never without sight. She's just like a book of wisdom. Anyhow,
none of us can read your handwriting.
Yeah, well, you know. Anywhoozer, so...
I have to do this real fast. Yes. We have It's Me Kelly in the chat, who is the one who left us that wonderful review on iTunes and screen-capped it and put it in our hashtag. She is watching live from South Africa.
Ooh, hey, fun. Hi,
how are you? Is it like 3 in the morning there?
Aw, that's actually really flattering.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Lovely.
We love you too.
Really quick, okay, so we are going to for sure really talk about this show, but for a moment there, we have so many awesome people in the chat room, and I just want to acknowledge, if we don't get to say your name, I apologize, but some of you guys, go ahead and shoot us, like, hey, and, like, where you're from, because it's really awesome to be able to look over and be like, we have someone here who is from Russia. Gosh, doggy, do not talk about the Brafa. And then we have people from all over the world, so it's really neat to know that from all the, we can come together over this one thing that we all enjoy.
You know
it's
what?
Such an awesome...
Put your locations in the hashtag, so that way at the end of the show we can go, because the chat scrolls by really quickly, but the hashtag stays. So go on Twitter, put them in the hashtag ABTV Arrow, and then if we have time at the end of the show, we'll go take a look and we'll shout some people out,
because
that
awesome.
Is fantastic.
Yes.
But yeah, do it in a place where we can come back to it, because the chat moves super fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So really quickly, because we touched on the flashbacks a second ago, I guess it's been this way for most of the season, but this is the first time I became consciously aware of the fact that he's got flashback hair again.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like flashback hair. Oh.
No, he's got it's not as wig-like as some of his previous. It looks like real hair, slicked down like he just ran it under some water and combed it, but like it looks like hair, but he's got his little flashback hair again.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
And it doesn't look like the wig.
Right, it doesn't look wiggy.
Poor baby. Oh.
Poor baby.
But I do want to talk a little bit about the flashback, because we got to find out the backstory of, first of all, Talia pretty much convincing him. Obviously, it's somewhere in there are her own motives. We just don't know specifically what they are. But as far as her saying, you know, you still have that list in the book and it's not too late to right your wrongs, so you must go home. And we did have the part where the show opened up and it said 5 years later. And we know that he was on the island for 5 years,
right?
So obviously we're going to see the emergence of past and present, which they've talked about before. And I don't know what they're going to do in season 6 now, but...
Well, it makes me want to go back and rewatch, because I haven't rewatched too much of Arrow since the first time I watched it all the way through. It makes
me... Well, it's, if you'll forgive me, an undertaking.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of... I stop it.
Yep!
No. No, I quit. No, but
season one puns.
There's so much. There's a lot of material to go through.
Yeah.
If you mean it in that sense, I agree completely. But I really want to go back and I want to watch, especially even the first couple of episodes, just to see as they start tying the past and the present timelines together, how efficiently they're doing that. Or am I going to watch the final flashback episode of this season and then throw on the pilot and go, this doesn't make sense?
Yeah. Regardless, I just want to touch on Talia really quick and just saying that she obviously has a motive, because it's not like she's going, hey, you're cute and I want to help you and you have this ability to withstand a lot of pain, so let me teach you. Like, there is a motive there, clearly. We just don't know what it is, and I want to know.
Because that's what I want in a man, the ability to withstand a lot of pain.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's part of why, too, I feel like Talia is a fairly compelling candidate for Prometheus.
Oh, yeah.
In that we know Prometheus is somebody that's got a personal connection to Oliver Queen, something from his past, and now in the flashbacks, we're introducing the idea that, like, right before the start of the series, Talia showed up and was basically like, here, be the Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, the lines are connecting.
And he did say, when he finally did get that drug dealer, that or the supplier of the drug that Thea was taking, whatever... You have failed Starling City.
I have a catchphrase now.
Right. Catchphrase!
Right.
Yeah. Though, if it were Talia, wouldn't it make more sense for her to blame herself? Because she created this guy who killed all these people and did all these things. And then, so, like, if not for her, he'd still be in Russia, probably a a dead body.
See, here's the thing. You're expecting any given villain in this show to be logical and have some sense of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
None of them do.
No.
They're all a little crazy.
So crazy.
Or a little narcissistic, or a little, like, there's
one of the prerequisites to be a villain.
It's not necessarily.
In this show.
So far, yeah.
To be a supervillain, yeah. But it's, I blame you for something that was definitely partly, at least partly, my fault. Mm-hmm. But it's easier to blame you than to sit back and examine what happened in my role in it and go, so I can definitely see you did this, you did this, you did this. Excuse me, who handed me back the list and said, go? That was you.
Well, you know, talking about blame, Oliver, which we know is infamous for blaming himself for things, has a new thing to blame himself about, because now he feels like the reason that Diggle and Felicity have crossed the line is because he's rubbed off on them. And I do like that he had the conversation with Dinah, which, as much as I hate to say it, maybe they're implying that there could be chemistry between the two of them, because she can talk to him in a way to where they can relate.
You can have non-romantic chemistry and still be very good friends.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Trust me, I'm not that. I'm not
Lose
for that
the ship
team.
Goggles.
I'm not for that team. I'm saying I could see where they might try to start going down that route.
Yeah.
Regardless, I like the conversation that the two had in the car, because when somebody that you don't know as well, it's so weird how life works, right? Like, your best friend or your sister can tell you that they think you're this fantastic person. You're like, oh, thanks, it's nice, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But if somebody that you don't know comes up to you and gives you that same compliment, it almost means more because they don't know you, so they don't have to be nice to you.
It's bizarre. It's like, you really know what you're talking about, but it makes no sense that they'd know better what they were talking about.
And I feel like that's what happened, because she doesn't... I'll let you say your piece in a second, but I just feel like her sitting with him in the car and talking about the past. How many times has someone else probably tried to tell Oliver to shake his past? But she has this one piece of wisdom about you not letting your past be your anchor, and all of a sudden I'm sure he's just like, he even says it later on in the show, I've learned not to let my past be.
I love what was pretty much the backhanded compliment, like, you're a great guy, you're just too stupid to see it. Bless you. I love Dinah, like, a lot.
Yeah,
I like,
and the whole I don't like brooding, like, where have you been this entire show?
But she's basically saying, like, take your mood swing and get the hell on, Felicia.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so, so much.
I really like Dinah. I wish this was the Black Canary we got from the beginning. I actually thought Laurel was the best utilized as the DA. I liked that version of her. It seemed like that was the version of her they had figured out the most and with the most consistency. Now I think, I mean, I really enjoy her as Black Siren.
Yeah.
But I like this character a whole bunch, but everything they do with her, I'm watching with two things in mind. I'm going like, okay, I'm liking this as a one-to-one, my relationship with the show, I enjoy this. And then parallel to that, I'm going, what about every little decision they're making with her is going to make people furiously angry? Because, you know, and I, some arguments I can almost see, but, you know, no matter what they do with this character, it's going to make some people so very, very mad.
It's going to make people mad that there is a woman on a comic book show. Let's just lay that out there.
Is it?
There are some people where a female character can do no right. Full flipping stop.
Right.
So that's that. And those people I don't feel like talking to.
I'm going to disagree really quick with somebody in the chat, and not in a bad way. But anyways, I don't want to, I got it, because I'm not like, rah, but I don't know if I'm going to say this right. It looks like Armox, or
Armoix.
Armoire! Okay. basically says that I could take my shipping goggles off, if Oliver wouldn't hop into bed with everybody. I don't think he slept with that many people.
Not since
the first season.
Well,
not... Everybody is stretching it.
He was in a relationship for a while, and the only person he was betting for a little bit was Felicity. So it's not like he's been hopping around.
Can we name a female character that's not related to him that he hasn't slept with, though?
That's not related to him?
Yes.
Thea doesn't count in this list.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Creepy. So,
Laurel, but that's from the get-go.
Right. Slept with Laurel's sister.
Laurel's sister.
Huntress,
he slept with.
Do you ever sleep with Cupid? I don't think so.
I don't think that happened.
No. Hey, winner!
So, yeah.
We got one. We got one, you guys.
didn't sleep with everybody.
There's an episode of Red versus Blue.
Speaking of, somebody in the chat, I think one or two people in the chat a few minutes ago said that Bug-Eyed Bandit needs to return, and how great would it be if Prometheus was not the Bug-Eyed Bandit, but in fact just a bunch of bees in a hood?
That would actually be funny.
That would be so, like, I couldn't be mad.
Nyssa? He did not sleep with Nyssa.
He didn't sleep with Nyssa.
Good job. Good job.
He did not.
That's true.
Thus far, he has not slept with Talia or Katana.
That would have been weird.
Didn't he, though? I mean, they were married, and they did go through a specific ritual.
That doesn't mean they did the dream.
But we don't know if they did or not. I'm just saying it's not explicit whether they slept together or not.
Lila, okay. You did not sleep with Lila.
We don't have a lot of time, and I don't think we can spend this much time talking about the state of Oliver Queen's dick.
Wow. So. All right. Well.
Bigger spectacle than Avengers movies. Anyway.
So Anatoly, the Russian guy.
Oh, okay.
I like Anatoly so much. I like him a lot.
I wish he was a regular part of the show.
He makes me angry sometimes, the back and forth and back and forth. Like, I get it. He's loyal to the Bratva first, and when Oliver goes against that, it's like, excuse me, what are you doing?
Right.
But it's still just like, I like Anatoly. Anatoly, stop it.
Stop.
Oh, I like you. Stop it.
Bro. Stop with the crime. Stop it.
Just be cool. Just be cool.
It's chill, Anatoly. Anatoly's got no chill at all.
Well, you know what's interesting? So, okay, they when they meet up, obviously Anatoly's got beef with him, and he says, you know, his feeling is that once you're in Bratva for life. Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a little bit. Then we have this whole thing where Oliver's not going to do whatever favor it is that Anatoly wants. And then Diggle loses his shit and he changes his mind and decides, okay, we're going to do this as a sacrifice. And what he does really isn't that bad in comparison to some of the things he does in his everyday life.
Sure.
He finds a bad guy, or maybe not as bad.
A business owner.
Yeah. You do this, or I blah, blah. I'll break your two fingers. You don't forget. You've done a lot worse than breaking two fingers.
Yeah, by Oliver Queen's standards, he might as well have just gone like, stop it.
But right. It's the principle of the thing. He is done doing this. He is doing everything he can to put it behind him. But if they want to accomplish the goal at hand, Diggle's impatience and Felicity's kind of going off the rails has wrecked the chances that they had. So it's either this or terrorists get the bomb. There's really only when it's like, okay, I could let many, many innocent people die, or I could compromise the morals that I'm trying to build and rough someone up for a night.
Right.
Right.
Well, better me than them.
But I mean, it's not like he killed somebody. That would obviously be something to weigh guilt on, but
it's still the beginning of a backslide that he does not want.
Also,
sorry, Sylvia Love.
I know.
Hashtag bees in the hood.
We still have a shirt available that says Oliver Queen is full of bees.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yes. Keeping that.
Go
sorry,
ahead,
continue.
Bees in the
wood.
That was really great.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, I mean, the guys that Oliver is typically taking out are bad guys. We don't know what kind of business this guy was running. It could have been a small bakery that Anatoly didn't like. They gave him a stale bagel, and he was like, "You got to rough up these."
So well, like, but I highly their bagels are terrible.
I highly doubt. I mean, Anatoly has time for something petty. Given his past, anything he's ever made Oliver do when Oliver was trying to get into the Bratva, and Oliver thought he was shooting innocent people or whatever, the backstory was always, "No, that guy's a child molester. No, that guy killed somebody."
Right.
So it's never been that they hurt people that haven't done something bad.
So Jamie Newman in the chat says, since when does Oliver have morals? And I'd like to ask whether we've been watching the same show? Because he's had morals for a good chunk of time. They haven't always been great.
They come and go. It's like a bad cable signal. Do people still have cable? Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes. But okay. It's one of those, he oscillates between neutral good and true neutral, but he's trying and he's making an effort, and he's definitely been making an effort more in this season. So to ask whether or not he has morals, yes, he obviously has morals.
He's just a little
torn. Does he act on them all the time? No, he makes some boneheaded decisions because it's the bad decision conga line. That's Arrow. But the man has morals.
Yes.
What?
I'm smiling about because the two other shows in this universe are having a musical crossover, and I so badly want there to be a Bad Decision conga line number dedicated to Arrow.
But you know what would be crazy?
I need that in my life.
If they actually did do a musical version of this, you know, they decided to do a musical with Arrow, A, it'd be weird because it's just a different energy.
There'd be such a weird tonal thing.
But if you really think about it, they're all musically inclined. I don't know. I think I may have heard Stephen Amell sing. Yeah, he sang the Frozen song. Regardless, most of these people on that show, I've not heard diggle, but can sing.
Well, Barrowman's going to be in the musical.
Well, yeah, of course.
And then we just need to bring Colton Haynes back. The musical doesn't extend to Arrow.
Yeah.
I'm very, very sad about this.
The next musical can extend to Arrow.
The next crossover needs to be a four-part
musical.
Just
four-part musical.
That'd be awesome. Potentially five-part if we go ahead too. With Black Lightning.
I'm so in. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. All musicals all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Anyhow. Put that on my wish list.
What?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I was actually... The people are talking about how old Rory is. Somebody thought he was 18. Other people think he's 20. But I believe the beginning of the conversation was something between Rory and Felicity.
Oh, which, people talking about if, like, people ship Rory and Felicity.
Oh, well, you know what? Somebody else... And I'm so sorry, because we were talking on Twitter, and they were saying that they felt like Rory and Curtis were going to become a thing, because even though Rory said he wasn't gay, they felt like maybe there was a little bit of something there, but Rory obviously just decided to peace out. But who here thinks that it's actually a permanent departure?
I will be very sad if that's the case.
I would
be
too.
The implication I got from this is that he is trying to go somewhere to rekindle the connection, whether that is back to, what, Egypt, was it?
Yeah,
where did
the rags come from, Egypt?
Or whether it's to a holy site or whatever. I got the feeling that he was going to try and bring the connection back somehow. So I don't think this is going to be a permanent departure.
Right.
We would have heard more about it in the press.
Well, okay, but so Tari J. Miller, did this give you flashbacks to Monday's Supergirl?
Yes, it did. It makes me feel like at a certain point someone was like, hey, there are too many characters on this bee.
We gotta get one of these guys somewhere else.
Yeah.
No, just thin the herd out a little bit, more manageable number.
They haven't been using Rory very effectively, and someone on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I don't have the time to find you right now, but I saw it and I love you, commented that they think that he was too OP and they didn't know how to use him in the context of the show. Like, he might have been a better fit on Flash, where everyone and their mother has superpowers.
Right, right.
But on Arrow, it's just like, he's really incredibly ridiculously overpowered for this particular verse.
Dinah's over here like, wah! And then people are like, oh.
Dinah can't stop a bomb.
Yeah, that's true. Once you can, like,
Once you can mute a nuclear device.
But we are...
But really quick, though, I like the way they integrated the fact that Felicity, for a second time, had a choice to divert a bomb again.
Yes.
And her first suggestion was, let's just put it somewhere with a smaller population. Oh, you mean like you did to my place?
Yeah, like Haven Rock?
Like, she's like, let's not talk about that right now.
No, this is the perfect time to talk about that.
But there are, so Monday on Supergirl, there was a character, I'm not going to spoil the circumstances if everybody's not caught up, but there is a character.
Because I'm not.
There is a character much in the same way that we saw tonight that they've been establishing, I think, fairly effectively over the course of the season. And they brought certain elements of that character storyline to a conclusion, but it seemed like very quickly made the decision this character has to leave. And it's another departure that felt very much like Patty on season 2 of The Flash to me. And I'm wondering how much of it has to do with the fact that these actors aren't series regulars. I think they're guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is some of this, if not all of it, and I'm not sure about the specifics and who's doing what, where, when, but I think some of these actors might get offers to be regulars on another series somewhere, and that would end up taking precedence.
Right.
So I'm wondering how much that factors into some of these departures. But it's odd that we're seeing a couple of them in a week.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't know about real industry rules, but like, isn't there a certain amount of episodes you can guest star on until you are a series regular? Essentially, like, you have to transition over at a certain point.
Yeah, but Curtis was on multiple episodes in season 4 and not considered a regular up until season 5.
But he did disappear a number of times throughout the season. But Rory has been there almost since the beginning throughout. So there's a chance that, like, he hit his limit and they're like, all right, son, you got to go on a spirit quest.
Thanks to everyone in the chat who made the effort to spoil it after they worked so hard not to spoil it.
Uh-oh.
Good job, guys. It's not your fault. Don't apologize.
No, I opened the box.
There's like four people in here going, let's spoil it. It's it, friends.
Pandora's friends. Box? Transition.
No. Oh, good transition. So, really quickly, even though Felicity, quote-unquote, crossed the line according to Rory, I enjoyed seeing her be a bit of a badass, because she is usually the computer person, and here and there she's in the field, but this time she thought, I'm going to get real too big for my britches, and I'm going to walk in here, and she handled herself really well.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's getting to be a badass, and then there's threatening a man's children.
Well, like, no, I'm not saying what she did problems. Was right. I'm saying that the way she handled herself, it was cool to see her, because she did it with such confidence. There was none of that Felicity that was like, oh my God, and you know how she has diarrhea of the mouth and blah, blah, blah. She handled herself with such cool calmness when she delivered what it is that she was saying, that I was like, this is a different side of her.
And it's like, it's jarring to see her playing that role and playing it so effectively, but it's like a when in Rome type of thing. It's like, all right, this is how they play over here, so this is how we're gonna have to play over here. Curtis trying to blend in is about the greatest thing.
Oh, yes.
Really, a bratva, no offense, but a bratva guy with an afro.
The hair, I'd be like, I don't think they would let you have the hair.
Your pronunciation is terrible.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
So, good times in Great Oldies.
Yeah. I really liked this version of Felicity, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that, yes, she was technically threatening a guy's family.
No, there's no technically about it. She was absolutely threatening a guy's family.
But it's
overtly.
Not, right. But it's not something that she would actually go through with, I think. So, like, even though she was threatening this guy, like, there's no chance that she would have actually, like, released the information. But, like, I like that she was able to kind of go on her own and really be useful and be a field agent. Like, you don't get to see field agent Felicity very much.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I was interested to see this part of her, but the way in which she used it, it's just like, oh, honey, no. Sit down.
It was great.
It's
crazy.
Well, we saw John a little bit out of his element, but not.
Out of whack.
Yeah, there you go.
Rage Diggle is not something we get to see super often, So, John Diggle was a character they created for the show, and he was named after Andy Diggle of comics. So, there was no John Diggle in Arrow until, like, New 52, I believe, and they put him into the books, and it's based loosely on the version you see on the TV show. Mm-hmm. In Rebirth, I believe, there is a version of John Diggle. It might be Rebirth, might be New 52, but that is a lot closer to this Diggle. The Diggle in the books that I remember reading recently is not the David Ramsey, very calm, measured, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to do it very stoically. Yeah. He's just yelling and hitting people and like trying to blow stuff up. And so tonight I was like, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah. Hey, it's John Diggle. Yeah.
It's Comic Diggle.
I liked that we got Rage Diggle, especially because he's fresh out of prison, and like, you understand why he's such a rage monster, because this guy like almost ruined his whole life, and so, you know, of course he wants to like murder the crap out of him.
But what killed me is when he finally caught Walker.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, got the gun to hit, and of course Walker's gonna play him and be like, go ahead, do it, whatever.
Make my day.
Yeah.
Walker's
and
a sexy lady.
And here's the thing. Yep. Look, Oliver's little voice was in his head. Tell him he's better. Fine. Keep the mask on. What were you thinking taking the mask off? You're like, I bet you didn't think it was going to be me, huh?
What? No. Shoot, I'm not Jake.
But I'm not actually going to kill you. I'm just going to let justice do its system.
I'm just going to self-incriminate and leave.
Even though you've escaped from things before. Boo, you should have kept the mask on. You want to let justice do justice? Fine. But keep the mask on. Because once old boy gets out of jail, guess who he's coming after?
Mm-hmm.
You?
Okay, he made a really good point about, I have all sorts of friends in high places, and you have a wife and child. I'm like, yeah, but his wife is kind of an amazing badass. But I see your point.
Yeah, it's like once you got one over on him the first time, if you're going to go through with this plan, best not to tell him, ha-ha, it was me.
Right. Yeah.
Just do like a John Diggle gives his regards and then stab him through the heart.
Also a bad, unless you make sure to kill him, also a terrible idea.
Yeah.
No.
Just leave me. I mean, if you play, God, what's the song? I can't remember. I'm trying to make a Red Wedding joke, and I just
Cashmere.
Castmere. The Reigns of Castmere. Thank you.
There we go.
I mean, as long as you play the Reigns of Castmere beforehand, you're good.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
took that long.
I was going to say Stairway to Heaven. That's not correct.
Totally.
We got a lot of
everyone's mad at Diggle.
Yeah, well, I was too. Billie Jean Girl says, I literally thought, idiot. That's funny, because in my notes I put stupid. Just like that in my notes.
Well, but like, all Diggle has to do is say he was working with Argus. It was an Argus thing.
He didn't have
like,
to say nothing. He just could have kept his lips zipped. That's what he could have done.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, on a related note, though, one thing I kept thinking multiple times while they were carrying out their business in Russia is, oh, they're not wearing their normal costumes. They're dressed very incognito. And I'm like, oh, that's really smart, because even if you don't know who the Green Arrow is, you know he's American. So by going overseas and acting unilaterally in a foreign country, you could spark an international incident if you can look at security footage and go, oh, that's the Green Arrow. What's he doing
in
Russia?
The American Game. Yeah. But how come then did reporter, what's her, Susan Head, know that it was him?
Well, because they had the photos from the flashback era, no?
Yes.
I just remember her saying, well, Oliver Queen was in Russia. The arrow was in Russia.
Yeah.
And it was the Russian version that was running around killing people at that time.
Yeah.
8 years ago?
Didn't realize that was a flashback.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And Lex and I were talking about that a little bit before the show, and that it's interesting that she automatically assumed that it was this Green Arrow, even though we've had an arrow slash hood.
Yeah, the hood.
Yeah.
That died.
Or the Vigilante. Yes. Right, but it is interesting that they jumped right to, oh, this must be the new guy and not the old guy who looked more like this guy.
Right.
It's almost as if they don't want us to think too much about stuff that happened a few years ago. It's fine.
I don't know what. I just see I should be doing school.
I should be doing school. Know. You speak for all
we
of us,
all
I think.
School.
We should all be doing school.
Is that Susan's nickname? Am I right?
I don't really. Do I high-five you on this one?
I don't know. But
it's,
you know what, guys?
We are running out of time.
Yeah, we are running out of time. So really quick, a few things need to happen.
I'm just, one thing we haven't touched at all is the return of Quentin Lance.
Oh, how did I forget that one? Oh, I was so happy to see him.
I want more of Quentin and Renee together.
That was what the thing I never knew I needed, and then realized that I had to have it in my life once it started happening. Oh my God!
I want this to be the whole show a little bit.
I would take webisodes, like 5 minutes on a Saturday of them just doing stuff.
And
I'd take it
seriously. The moment where like Quentin, he comes back, he's totally put together. It seems like he's doing it. He's really doing it. He's back. He's serious, polished, on it. Mentions Laurel. And the way Paul Blackthorne hits that, it's like a total 180 heel turn in performance and tone, and it's so pitch perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That made me very happy.
But I also appreciate the fact that when he did turn around and apologize, he's like, well, my sponsor told me that I should say sorry. But you know he knew that he should say sorry too.
But also mentioning that he has a sponsor, and this is part of being through rehab and being in AA. Like, this is, it's a representation thing.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's like, oh, that person's an alcoholic. Very rarely is that in a sympathetic light.
True,
right.
But we get to see someone hit the bottom, take the necessary steps to go into rehab, which is, to my understanding, extremely difficult to do.
Yeah.
And then come out the other side.
You're right. We very rarely see that balanced and nuanced depiction. It's either
It's a tragedy.
It's either a tragedy or it's weirdly romanticized in a way that makes it seem like you don't really understand what this does to people.
Like, rehab. No, that
the
ain't
Hollywood
how it works.
Version of
Friend.
It. Yes.
It's good to see a realistic representation of it in this kind of show, in a comic book show.
Well, and on top of that, too, you have the moment where Renee does the reveal of, we do actually have a past.
I love
but
that.
But it happens in such an awesome moment, because even though Lance is going through his moment and he has his apology and he realizes, I messed up, and quite possibly that could be something on his confidence, there you have Renee reminding him of, you are a good person deep down, because if it wasn't for you.
A little bit. In a way, Quentin Lance is like his Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
He basically put the coat around the young boy's shoulders to let him know the world hadn't ended and birthed a powerful force for good.
Yeah.
We're going to bend it a little bit.
Really quick, though, I want to get back to the two things we need to do.
Yes.
First of all, we do need to get into some news and gossip, because I have three videos that we definitely need to watch. But also, too, while we're pulling up the news and gossip on my engineer's end, that could be a great moment for Katie to go see where everybody's from. If you guys did actually hop into the hashtag, because I did see a Vegas, and I'm like, hey, because that's my town, too. I saw a Oregon.
Some Texans.
Yeah, okay. And then you let me know if there's anybody else that I miss. Shout-outs to all these different cities and awesomeness. And it looks like...
Before that, I need to talk about the iTunes very quickly. I can't get the thing to load, so if anyone with an iPhone wants to do that, that would be glorious. Thank you to everyone who reviewed. Thank you to everyone who rated us 5 stars. Thank you to everyone who subscribed. When you do that, you let our producers know that you want to keep this after show on the air, and that is how we as an after show stay on the air. You also elevate our rankings in iTunes podcasts so people can find us more easily. I can't get anything to load. It seems like you guys
it's
can't
get... It's making a noise.
Give me just...
Yeah. Really quick, while I do that, let's watch these fun little clips that I pulled up just because they're fun. So this is Whose Line Is It Anyway? Up a couple hot tubs.
Love hot dogs.
A lot of men don't know how to cook hot dogs. You like the way I throw my wiener around?
When was Katie Cassidy on Whose Line? For you?
Well, Whose Line lives on the CW now, so.
That's right.
Yeah, it's been living on the CW for like 3 years.
I forget about that all the time.
Uh-huh. It's on the app.
You guys.
We have less than 5 minutes.
Well, either way, no one can hear what they're talking about, so Google that one. And then here's Emily Bett Rickards in a really fun Coca-Cola commercial.
Well, Emily, thank God. You fixed computers, right? I got a presentation due in like 20 minutes. Can you help me?
You give me your Coke, and I will take a look.
Okay, let's go.
You try turning it on and off?
Yeah.
Still not working?
Correct.
Thank you.
I thought you were gonna fix it.
Chinese, zobo da.
I have no idea what you just said.
I don't know what that means.
But anyways, I just thought that
Chinese
was funny.
Chinese Coke
too.
Commercial.
It looks good drinking the soda.
Yeah,
it's great.
For everyone on iTunes, I'd like to imagine that. It's the drug and not the drink.
Coke.
Give me your Coke.
All right, I got it to load. We're good to go.
Okay, let's watch this last video and then we can hear what you got to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, World Water Day.
What?
Look at Paul Blackburn swim.
World Cold Water Day.
Yep.
Wait, he's got a positive message. Hold on. He'll get there once he stops freezing.
You forget that he has an accent.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Okay. World Water Day. Did you know 0.01% of the water on the planet is drinkable? That's what we drink. Of that 0.01%, 95% is polluted. Dreadful, dreadful, dreadful. So, what do? We try and protect what we have, we cherish what we have, and we give thanks for what we have, and just try and keep it all as clean as possible, because this is water, this keeps us alive, and I'm going back in. Happy World Water Day. Thank you very much.
Anyway, and we invest in desalination.
He's amphibious.
And I said, wow, he's got some abs on him, too. Go ahead, Paul Blackthorne.
He's in good shape.
Yeah.
All right. So we have, and I'm going to speed read these like a crazy person because I love you all, but it's auctioneer time.
I got Wisconsin in the house.
What up,
love this show and podcast by Jonath07. Got into Arrow about a year ago after avidly watching Flash, Supergirl, and Legends. I binged on Netflix this past summer and always look forward to listening to your after shows once an episode ends. I think I've read this one before.
But it's great.
Yeah.
It is, and we love you.
Let's see.
One of the best Arrow podcasts out there by Lantha Korean. This is definitely one of the best Arrow podcasts out there right now. Consistent, insightful, fun. Not afraid to criticize, but does so in a respectful way. Well-rounded and provides different perspectives and opinions. Great banter. Can't go wrong. Keep it up.
I think you've read this one, too.
Yep.
That's okay. And we have one.
Johannesburg, hello. Sorry.
Hello, Johannesburg.
And we have one on iTunes from Matt and Emma Burton.
Hey guys, we watch the show from England the day after it happens every week without fail. You're awesome. With only limited knowledge of the source material, getting the occasional blank filled in is so needed. Love the AfterBuzz DC TV after shows. Lex and Tara, you're goddamn heroes.
Hey,
never stop being the sassiest player in the game, Katie.
Yes.
Keep up the good work. Quality stuff. Love from Emma and Matt.
So
rate, subscribe, leave a review. If you leave a review in an iTunes store that is not American, or if you leave it in the podcast feature of Google Play, please screen cap that and put it in the hashtag on Twitter that is ABTV Arrow. We love you all. Thank you for keeping us on the air.
That's what the last one was.
Alright, so we literally have 54 seconds left. Ryan with Allison, who always gives us Easter eggs, is from Wisconsin. So this is me, Kelly, is the one who's from South Africa. And we've had a few other shout-outs in the hashtag. So thank you for that. So excited to be worldwide with you guys.
Yeah, and keep letting us know where you're from.
We don't really have time for predictions, but that's okay, because what we got from a montage was
nothing.
Next week, guns.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
That's on Arrow. So anyhow, I'm going to turn to the front so you can see all of us at the same time as we bid you adieu. Good morning, good night, good afternoon, happy tea time, and everything like that. Please be sure to continue to talk to us via social media. I'm at Boys and Beauty on Twitter and Boys_and_beauty_AliKona on Instagram. Follow these fantastic folks as well, please.
Yes, I am all over social media at TheLexMichael. And if you're a fan of DC on a CW on ABTV, I totally got it. I'm all over that.
How many letters is that?
It's a many. I'm with Tari J. Miller on Monday nights talking Supergirl. I'm on Legends of Tomorrow on Tuesdays. And of course, every week here on Wednesdays talking about the wonderful Emerald Archer. We love you. So many wonderful places to come nerd out. Mwah.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TariJay. I'm also on assorted panels, like he said.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on all the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I'm kind of on a different flavor of nerd here. Star Wars Rebels comes back in a week. That's on Sundays. Tomorrow we have Voltron at 9 p.m. with a very special guest. And we have the season finale of Ruby at 7. Join us. It's going to be amazing.
And we'll continue to talk really, really fast because we don't have any more time. We're going to say goodnight to you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hashtag Bees in the Hood!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.